Oh man, way too gracious. Way too gracious. That video is way so good. I didn't know the ending was added on for this morning, and so very surprised in the first, but thank you, thank you, thank you. One of the things that I really like about that video is how it tracks my weight gain through the year. It's always, I know you were thinking it, and he looked different in that shot than he. Normie likes his carbs. He likes his carbs. If you are a guest here today, by the way, welcome. Great to know you. Great to have you. My name is Norm. One of the pastors here for a couple more days, and it's great to have you with us on this Sunday. And thanks again, as we've said many times over the years, for dealing with some of the stuff outside with the race and all that, and getting here. It's our pleasure having you. As best as I can determine, I've preached about 1,300 sermons over the 14 years of this ministry. Today's is my last, at least as a pastor here. Perhaps Matt will invite me back to preach on head coverings or something like that one day on an August long weekend, and I'll be happy to do so. It's always a pleasure to teach God's word, but this is my last again as a pastor here. I base that number 1,300 just on the fact that about average for me, at least up until the last couple of years, was preaching about 40 Sundays a year, and about over that time, I've preached about 2.5 times per Sunday. And I say 2.5 because there was about a year and a half where we had one gathering a Sunday, and then about a year and a half in, we moved to 2, and then 3, and then we actually did 4 for a year, which was nuts because we did back-to-back-to-back-to-back services gatherings at 2 different locations. We had an 8:30 and a 10:30 at Fifth Avenue. We had a 9:30 and 11:30 at the theater sports venue. And so used to preach, unclip, drive down. The other service started, preach there, unclip, drive back, preach there, unclip. Anyways, by the time you were done at 11:30, you were just, you go home and just, right, just nuts. But we moved from there into the Arts Club Theater down on Granville Island. We started there with 2 gatherings, but after 2 weeks, we moved to 3. And then we eventually, obviously, moved into here in September of 2013, and we essentially do 2 gatherings for most of the year. And so 2.5, I think, is a pretty accurate number. The actual number of unique messages that I've given is probably close to about 560. Today's, however, has maybe been the hardest and yet most fun to write. I asked Matt if we could take a break from our series on Joshua, and if he would allow me to pick a text on my own that I could share and speak out of today, and he was gracious enough to say yes. And so I invite you to take your Bibles out and turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, our text will be verses 3 to 11. The first book we ever taught through from beginning to end at Westside was the book of Philippians. We actually started in the Gospel of Mark, and then we stopped when we started our community groups in 2006. And I wanted to go through this book together, the 4 community groups that were launched in 2006. And we went through this great, great letter. I chose it. If you know it, you know why I chose it. But if you don't know much about the book of Philippians, I chose it because it really encapsulates my heart today. My heart of gratitude, my joy today, my thanks today, my thanks for you and for the Lord over what I've had the great honor and privilege to experience over the years of this ministry. Let me read the text, remind you of it, or share it with those of you who've never come across it for the first time. It's a wondrous, wondrous text. Paul writes, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This text, and you probably picked it up right away, it records a prayer of Paul where he begins with thanks. But he highlights two things that he is thankful for most of all. One of those is found in verse 5 when he states there, I'm thankful for the church, you church, the Philippian church, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Secondly, he is thankful, you can see this in verse 7, for their partaking of God's grace. Now, the grace that Paul is referring to here isn't specifically the grace that we most connect to salvation, although it certainly includes that. But more so, the grace that Paul is talking about is the grace that they had experienced during their lives together. The grace of God poured out on them as they ministered and did ministry of the gospel. And this is what I've been doing this week. I've been thanking God for you and your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And for the many ways that God has poured out his grace on us over these past 14 years, and he's not done yet. The best, I believe and pray, is yet to come, because his grace is immeasurable. It doesn't run out. And I believe for the sake of this city, that the Spirit of God is looking for nothing more than churches that will humble themselves before him, and he will use those churches. And I believe he wants to use this ministry in even greater ways in the years ahead. I want to follow Paul's lead this morning by saying thanks. And I want to begin with the elders, my brothers, who have served this ministry so faithfully. The ones here now, and also the ones who have moved on over the years, most to plant other churches, but some to move home to silly places like Halifax and Australia and places like that. The biggest complaint, and this is why I love the elders so much, the biggest complaint I have heard from the elders over the years is that we need to spend even more time than we do in word and prayer. I'm not making that up. When that's the biggest complaint that you hear from your elders, you know you have good elders. And Westside, you do. It's not easy eldering a ministry like this. It's not easy being married to an elder who leads a ministry like this. Not every decision is liked, believe it or not. But even in the challenging times we've encountered, I can testify to the elders' deep love of Jesus and their collective dedication to seeking the face of Jesus and being faithful to the leading of the Lord, regardless of how hard that road may be. Serge, Casey, Jer, Brian, Matt, Chad, Dan, Daniel, Dave, Brett, Dale, and James, I love you and I thank you. You have shepherded this ministry willingly, with eagerness, not for sordid gain, while being examples to the flock. Well done. God is pleased with you. I also want to thank the staff. The great thing about the staff here at Westside over the years is that most of them came from within, meaning that they were attenders before they became employees. I love that. I love it. Over the years, I have been given way too much credit for the things that that have taken place in this ministry that I had zero to do with. Absolutely nothing. Probably the best thing that I've done as a lead pastor in this ministry was get out of the way of the staff and let them use their gifts and abilities and passion for the Lord and you and serve this body that way. To the staff, I love you and I will miss you greatly. It's been an honor to serve alongside of you over these years. I can't imagine a better group of people to work with. I am thankful. I am truly thankful that in my departure, this ministry will be continued or continue to be served by you. Before moving on from the staff, I need to single out Matt only because of the role that he has stepped into. There have been some rumors out there that the reason I'm leaving is because I can't get along with Matt. I'm glad you laugh when you hear that. I laugh too, only because Matt's the best I've ever worked with. And I've worked with some great ones. And some of them are probably going to listen to this message and be really ticked off at me. But Matt is the head of the class. I'm not moving on because of Matt. I'm moving on sad that I won't have the joy of working with him any longer. I, of course, want to take time to thank you to the body of Westside. And I do from the bottom of my heart. To borrow from Paul one more time, I want to thank you for your partnership in the gospel. Again, from the first day we met, Mother's Day 2005, to the day we launched, September 25th, 2005, until now. I thank you for your partnership, for your prayers and your buy-in and your countless hours of service, for your gracious gifts of time and talent and treasure, for your encouraging emails, for your texts, for your anonymous gifts. I also want to thank you for your words of an admonishment too. I've said many times over the years that I am a man most fallible, and there are some of you who are very quick to point out my fallibility. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for all of you. I will miss you greatly. A part of me feels like it's dying. And that's okay. That's the call of Christ. That's the way of Christ. For the sake of more harvest. She is not here in this gathering. She was here in the first. My boys too. But I also must take time to thank publicly with you my beautiful wife, Nicole, and our two sons, Matthew and Micah. It's not easy being a pastor's wife or kid. The spotlight can be very bright, and they've handled that pressure very well. I have made many mistakes over the years, but probably the most egregious mistake that I have made is that I've not celebrated the good times enough, and I've dwelt too much on the hard days. I am truly sorry for that. I will do better going ahead by God's grace. I'm so proud of my family as they've walked through my kids essentially having lived most of their life in this ministry. Speaking of Nicole, she's been such a strength to me, obviously, personally, but also to this ministry. She is a prayer warrior. And she is a lover of the Word of God with few peers. She prays continually. If Nicole wakes up in the middle of the night, she assumes that God wants her to pray for someone, and she does. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I assume God wants me to eat more cereal. That's my, you know what I mean? I've had a dream of Captain Crunch, and I'm going to pour it in a salad bowl, right? That's the best. Salad bowl full of Captain Crunch. It's good. Lastly, but most importantly, I must thank the Lord. After all, what do we have that we have not received. God has been so good to us. And I know he will continue to be the same as long as we remain humble, because God stands at the ready to pour his grace out on the humble. He will pour more grace out on us individually and this ministry as long as we remain humble before him. All success in this ministry is because of God's grace. And I praise him for all of it. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. On the weak west side was planted, my mother-in-law, who I believe is here somewhere, was given a word where revealed to her was that as long as Westside was committed to lifting high the name of Jesus, we would be okay. That word has proven true and will continue to be true if the commitment remains the same, and I have no doubt that it will. Going back to our text, Paul is also thankful for how he and the church were partakers of God's grace. And I too am thankful for the many ways that God has poured out his grace on us. So many moments stick out. Obviously, those coming to Christ over the years and the baptisms that followed thereafter stand out most of all. Next Sunday, we're having a barbecue and a baptism, and that baptism is going to be the largest baptism that Westside has ever had. 22 people in total. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, praise God. Matt, again, has been very gracious in asking Nicole and me to baptize. What a precious gift. And I can't think of a better way to put a bow on our time here. I remember our first baptism on Easter 2006. Bob McElhoney, I'm not sure if you're here, brother, first baptism. Right down at Kitts Beach. And I remember driving home from that baptism thinking, I now can die a happy man. And I'm sure I'll feel the same this Sunday thinking about it, just a lot closer to dying, that is. So you never know. You never know. The churches that we have planted over the years are obviously highlights as well. By next year, the what I would call the West Side Friendship of Churches. These are churches that we have planted, churches that are starting to plant out of them. We will have planted 8 churches in 15 years. I don't know of another church in all of our country, all across Canada, that has done the same over the same period of time, which sounds boastful, I know. But please forgive me if it does, for I only share it because of the sacrifice, the role and sacrifice that you played in it. Time and prayer, saying goodbye to friends and family, cash, whatever it is. You played a huge role in that. You have paid a heavy price to see those churches birthed. And you have a reputation, whether you like it or not. You have a reputation, Westside, across this country, of being a place that is faithful to the word of God and plants churches. People are strengthened by your faith. They hear about your good works. Well done. Our country needs churches to set examples for other churches. And you have done that. Certain events stand out too. The death is not dying event with Rachel Barkey, perhaps most of all. I shared this in the first gathering. I didn't know that her family was going to be here. This is a night where 500 women packed the theater at the River Rock Casino to hear Rachel's story of faith as cancer was taking her life. The video of that night has literally been seen by hundreds of thousands of people around the world. Nicole and I just had a conversation just a couple of weeks ago with a woman from North Carolina who had been impacted by it. So great. By the way, I think it would be great to plant a church at the River Rock. That would be great. church at the River Rock. Like, you think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Talk about storming the gates. Like, what a story. Someone should do that. I don't think you could have kids class, though. You have to be 19 to get into the River Rock. Sorry, I've got a great college ministry. They're at the craps table. Right, go ahead. Moving, I don't know where I'm doing. Moving into this building is a great story, too. Millions of dollars donated by those who love Jesus more than their money. After closing costs, we purchased this building for $14 million. With a group of three individuals donating about $5 million towards its purchase. That same group on behalf of Westside took on a $9 million mortgage with our denomination that we pay via a lease arrangement. The same group were those who donated about $1.3 million towards our renovation downstairs. Willing in Church alongside of them gave about $250,000 towards that project as well. If my math is correct, I think all told from start up to today, Willingdon has given us well over $400,000. We so appreciate their generosity and these individuals' generosity. I remember about year three in this ministry wanting to give a raise to the staff but not having the money and going to Willingdon and begging them for money so I could give the staff a raise, and they did. In the lead up to moving into the center, I wanted to see about getting more help, more finances to sort of take the edge off. So I asked a Westsider who is the assistant of a prominent Vancouver businessman if I could get some FaceTime with him. And she graciously set it up. I met with him and I asked him to consider helping us. He told me to go wait in the lobby. I still remember that, which I did. Very quickly went into the lobby. About 20 minutes later, he brought me back in and said, I'm going to pay the first 3 years of your mortgage, about $1.3 million. But then he added, not because I like you, but because I like my assistant and she likes your church. My response was, praise God for your assistant. And I do. I praise God for his assistant. I also think of the 20-year parking agreement we signed with the building next door and thank God for it. It's so great. Egypt is building Westside a parking lot. It's so great. I also remember some of our gaffes along the way too. We had many. I don't know if you were a part of things then. I know some of you were, but we had two fall launches that we hosted at the Outdoor Riverboat Theater at Kitts Beach. At the first of those two, we had a baptism, and then during the gathering at that time, we had live testimonies. People would come up and give their testimonies. During that outdoor gathering, one of those being baptized shared for 35 minutes. We've been doing video testimonies ever since. And I'm not kidding. We love the ability to edit. It's God's grace. Editing is God's very good grace. We may not remember this, but we attempted a Sunday evening gathering in our history. I think it was 2010. Down at the review stage down on Granville Island. We launched there with about 170 people and quickly grew that group to about 40 before we shut it down. We were the slowest growing church in Canada at the time and we had to start over. I also remember the time where I had Chad McDonald, a former pastor here, telling him that he had to trim his beard. Because I didn't want people to think that the Unabomber was working at Westside. He was very gracious in trimming it. It was about down to his navel at the time. And he was... I remember when Chris Martins, who I didn't even know was here in the first gathering. I remember when Chris Martins, our first church planter, got up to preach for the first time and began by saying that he was so nervous that he almost went up to the communion table and slugged back a glass of wine. Perfect start. Perfect start. I also didn't realize that when we moved into this building that it came with mice, a whole bunch of mice. In fact, some of the mice are probably running under your feet right now. Just don't look. But I remember vividly one gathering when I was preaching that a mouse got up on the communion table and while I was preaching was in the bread eating it. Just now you're going to look up here. Just, we've gotten smarter over time. The tablecloth doesn't go all the way to the floor, and there's a reason for that, is they would climb up the tablecloth. So you're safe now. You're safe now. And so on and so on. Blessings and gaffes, but through all of it, God's grace shining through, and I'm so thankful. With the few minutes that I have remaining, I want to take you back to Paul's prayer, and I want to wrap up by having you notice Paul's petition in verse 9 just one more time. Look at verse 9 if you don't mind. Paul writes there, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." This is a twofold ask. Paul prays first that the church's love would abound more and more, that it would increase. Now, when Paul talks about this love increasing, there's no doubt that what he has in mind is their love for the Lord, but also their love for one another. Westside, this is my prayer for you. That your love for God and for one another only increases as the days go by. That this is vital for the greatest defense, the greatest apologetic for the Christian faith is our love. No greater apologetic than our love. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another, Jesus said in the upper room. Westside, we need to love. Westside, we need to be ready to forgive one another. We need to be as gracious with others and their shortcomings as we are with our own. We need to be more prone to see the evidences of God's grace in others before pointing out what they lack. Love as you want to be loved. But define that love as God does. And we know what love is, for Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for one another. And love Jesus most of all, for all other love flows from it. Apart from him, we can do nothing, which certainly includes loving others as he calls us to love. How are we to love others? Like he did. And therefore, jealously guard your time with Jesus. Remember, please, that Christianity isn't mere doctrine and dogma, but an intimate and personal relationship with the living God. It's a daily walk with the God who came. Paul also prays in verse 9 that their knowledge would abound too. Love and knowledge in harmony. So important, for love without knowledge is dangerous, and knowledge without love is a clanging gong. Knowledge by itself only puffs up, but knowledge expressed in love is the higher way. Paul adds also in verse 9 that their knowledge be coupled with all discernment. That word discernment speaks of wisdom. It speaks of application. And maybe this is why I ask so many questions when I preach, for it's not enough to explain the text if you don't know how to apply it. Questions help us apply things from the Word of God. We must be more than just simply hearers of the Word, but doers too. It's the man and woman who hears the words of Christ and does them that builds their lives on the solid rock that is Christ. This is Paul's prayer. And this is my prayer for you and me, that our love and knowledge, coupled with all wisdom and discernment, is ours as we move ahead. The result of all of this is what Paul lays out in verses 10 and 11, that we may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless on the day of Christ, and that we be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus, and last, that God would be glorified and praised through us, which should be the primary goal for everything we do. The glory of God. To him be the glory. When I planted Westside, my so-called vision, if you want to call it that, was to find a place somewhere in the city, specifically Kitsilano at that time, where I could tell people about Jesus and teach the Bible. That was my vision. I wanted, with all of my heart, to make Jesus known in Vancouver. And so, as I close for the very last time, let me remind you what is most important to me and needs to be most important to us. Let me remind you that Jesus is our everything. Jesus is the purpose for our living. In Jesus, all things hold together. He's the reason for our existence, and he created us for himself. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn. He's supreme over all creation. He is supreme over death. Supreme over creation, because it's through Jesus that all things exist. Supreme over death. Why? Because he killed it. Supreme from beginning to end. He's the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith too. That's our Jesus. That's why we exist, to make him known. And yet, you are key, for God himself resides in you. And you bear his image. You are the temple of God and called and empowered to be a witness of Jesus. This is where your esteem should come from. Your esteem shouldn't come from self. Nobody should esteem themselves, their self, and instead find their esteem from the God who knew you and formed you and called you and resides in you. My prayer as you continue on is that you never lose your commitment to making Jesus known in this city and around the globe, and never forget the call that each of you has in that mission. Westside Church, thank you for allowing me the great honor of being your pastor. My family loves you, and we will miss you. As Paul writes in verses 7 and 8, we will hold you in our heart, and we will yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. We will visit, but we know that things will never be the same. They never are. But this life is but a mist anyways. A quick note before I pray. A few people have asked, perhaps because they weren't here on the day that I made my announcement, what we are moving to. We don't know. I'm actually excited in some ways that I don't know what I'm moving to, because I couldn't imagine getting up here on this stage and saying, we're leaving you and we're going to them. I can't imagine doing that. I love you. We are convinced of God's call to go, but we don't know what he's calling us to go to yet. I have a couple of speaking engagements in July, but then we plan to rest and wait upon the Lord for the rest of the summer. And then come fall, start seeking or responding to new things. It's our 25th anniversary this July, and we'd already made arrangements to go on a Mediterranean cruise in September. La-di-da-di-da to us, huh? So picture me then in September, sipping a nice Chianti in Rome while my wife sips on sparkling water and just sort of gazes longingly into my eyes. Just picture me then. Which is how most nights end anyway, so. Sure. Some have asked if we will press in more with Multiply. I think you should know that there has been a restructuring of things with Multiply and our denomination, and I, along with some others, were let go last week. I'm okay with it. That's the prerogative of leadership. And I have no ill will towards them. It's not easy leading. And although I may not agree with certain decisions, I will trust and I will submit to those over me and pray that the Lord leads them in the days ahead. I do so gladly. I know they love Jesus, and that's good enough for me. Westside, as I've said a number of times, I love you and I thank you and praise God for his goodness to me and my family that he has given us through you. You are a gift of God's grace to me and my family. And so I close with the following benediction to you. My last words to you, at least in this type of context, may the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Would you rise, please, as we respond? If you're a guest here again, welcome. We always take time to respond to the teaching of God's word. We've heard God's word today through the book of Philippians. We are a church dedicated to the apostles' teaching, and the apostle Paul's taught us as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we want to respond to the teaching of God's word through acts of worship. And the center of this response time is this table. This table which reminds us of Jesus, a table of remembrance, a table necessary to come to week after week after week, because as I've said for the last 14 years, because we forget Jesus week after week after week after week, and so we want to remember Jesus through the symbols that are part of this meal. The bread, a symbol of the body of Jesus broken on the cross for us. We ask that you take that bread and dip it into the wine or the juice, a symbol of the blood of Jesus shed on that same cross. Let's remember Jesus. Let's worship Jesus. Let's long for the day when we get to see Jesus face to face. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, we'll have servers up and down the aisles. Come when you're ready. Take that bread, dip it into the wine or the juice, and partake. We also have people that would love to pray with you during this time down below and on the second level as well. Just take time. Take advantage of this ministry opportunity and pray with them if you have something you want to pray over. Ben is going to lead us in worship through song. And then on the back end, we've got a couple of other things coming. So come when you're ready. Come when you're ready.
Norm, why don't you come join us on stage? Nicole was here in the first, but we're missing her now. But morning, good to see all of you. Guys, why don't we come forward here a little bit? We'll surround Norm, put our hands all over him just how he likes. He loves being touched. So I touch him a lot. Go right in the middle. Right in the middle. There we go. So in the lead up to this, I've felt like I'm failing at honoring Norm, and then I realized I'm not failing at honoring Norm. There's actually no way to do this. There's no way to honor somebody, a man and his wife as well, Nicole, who lay down their lives, pour into all of us for 14 years, and then get low so that the rest of us can stand on their shoulders and take a big leap. There's just no way to honor somebody for that, and it's not my job to honor him. Jesus will do that. Jesus will honor you, Norm, for what you've done and what you've given, and I know that, and we know that. And so We're not going to try to honor you. We'll save that for the new heavens and new earth, but we want to pray for you. So would you stand with us, please? We pray.
James is here. You want to wait,
James? James Bonney? James Bonney. And Nikki, you guys here? Dude, come on down. He texted me this morning. I didn't know he was coming. Dude. This is James Bonney, his wife Nikki, a pastor of the Shore, ex-pastor of Westside. We got rid of him. Thank goodness. Yeah. Let's pray. Let's put our hands all over him. And
James, come pray.
Jimmy.
Father, I just thank you so much for that drive that Norm took back from Seattle where you pulled him over and you spoke to him and he got on his knees on the side of the road and he obeyed. He obeyed your call. Father, I thank you. That was you for us. You had us in mind. You had this ministry in mind. You had multiple churches in mind. You are sovereign. You are completely a wonderful, providential King of Kings. I thank you for all the times that you would speak to Norm. I just remember him leaving the office with a pad of paper when he was in any moment needing to hear from you and taking walks with you and coming back with plans and vision and just remember going, that man hears from God. And I'm so excited for that man to hear from you again, Father, again and again. And so we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And we cannot wait to see what you have. And so we thank you for Norm. And thank you for just raising up so many. Thank you for Matt. And thank you for this ministry. This is your church. And so we give it all to you. It's for your glory. And we just pray a huge blessing on the Funk family. Give them a great summer of rest. And we're so excited for another moment where you will pull him over again and speak and lead. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, your word is full of ordinary individuals whom you have pulled over from whatever they were doing, starting with way back in Genesis, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of the faithful prophets, kings, priests that we have read, all of the New Testament saints that have followed Jesus to the death. And 14 years ago, you pulled Norm over with Nicole, and you put a call on their hearts, and you have delivered beyond what they could dream or imagine. Your word also says that you give to your church evangelists, pastors, and teachers for purposes of equipping the church and building up the church for works of service. And works of service you did through us. 8 church plants, countless thousands influenced through the messages in the servant hands represented in this room that are your servants. And we could all say with the Apostle Paul that Norm, we are your letter of recommendation. You have written on our hearts the word of God, the model of Jesus, for everyone to see. So as the apostles and the brothers in the New Testament church looked at Paul and Silas and Barnabas and says, we commit you to the grace of God. We pray and commit Norm and Nicole to the grace of God, for the work remains. The harvest is plentiful, and it's about God's kingdom. So I want to pray through the Lord's Prayer, along with all of us, that we want to bring honor to your name. Hallowed be your name, Lord. We want to build your kingdom, not ours. We want to do your will, not ours. And for that reason, for that purpose, we ask for every day the daily bread needed for that mission. Protect us and protect Norm and Nicole as they go out from the evil one, from compromise, and help us to live in unity and forgiveness as Jesus called, as we execute that mission. I thank you, Lord, that you have worked wonderfully above all we could dream or imagine. And we stand here to give glory to you, not to us, but to you be the glory. And we look forward to the many challenges and calls and objectives of ministry that you will call upon us. But I just pray that you will give Norm a time of rest now through the summer as he gains strength, hears from you, and discovers that vision for the next season of ministry. And we want to be alongside him when he does. And we want to partner together and work together, just like in a New Testament church, to continue passing the torch of Jesus to the next generation and the generation after that until the Lord comes. So Lord, again, we commit Norm and Nicole and their boys to the grace of God and ask that you will anoint them powerfully for the next season of ministry, and we look forward to partnering with them in your name for the kingdom of Jesus to make his name known. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just a couple things before we go, and this is not the end. So as Norm mentioned, next week we have our baptisms down at the beach. He and Nicole will be in the water, and so make sure you, this is important, 10 a.m. gathering next week. So just one gathering, 10 a.m. Come out, come to the beach with us afterwards, Sunset Beach, bring a lunch. We're going to hang out, and we're going to get some time with Norm and Nicole, which would be great. So this is not the end, so we have that coming as well. If you're a guest or a visitor with us today, welcome. You really stepped into it on your way in here this morning. It's great to have you. Fill out a connect card for us during the lobby. We'd love to get in touch with you. If you're a Westsider, would you please just remember to give on your way out this morning? That would be a great blessing to the whole family. And then what else am I missing? There's something else. Oh, members class. If you're interested in members class today at 1 o'clock, if you're interested in learning more about this ministry and where we're going, all that, just join us downstairs in the commons at 1 o'clock. Love you so much. We'll see you soon.